And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." We're told here of two constituencies, two groups, very different groups, groups that had almost nothing in common, like Millwall fans and Swansea fans discovering one another on the tube, and the tension, and you getting out at the next station and finding another place away from the obvious tensions that there are. They meet. There's an incredible clash here. Firstly, they're the shepherds, the most unsavory group of men you could imagine. And we are told that they were, the Authorized Version says, they were abiding in the fields. They just didn't go there from 9 to 5. They lived in the fields. They weren't like other men who go in and do a shift and come out, but they were there permanently, night and day. They were with men. They didn't go home after the shift was over to aged parents and to young children and to their wives and all the humane influences that the elderly and the young and women have on men. But they were just men together with animals. And they had a rotten reputation. You can see it in several ways. The Mishnah, the Jewish book of laws for daily living, said, don't ever buy anything from shepherds, because you can almost guarantee that they've been stolen, the things you want to buy from them. Shepherds weren't allowed into the temple courts. They were unclean men ceremonially. Shepherds weren't allowed to give evidence in a court of law because they were notorious deceivers. They were brutal men and hard men and unrepentant men, like the worst kind of Pentonville prisoners who were still hard and never expressed any sorrow for the people that they have hurt. Brutal men, the most irreligious group in the land. Foul, cruel men. So that's one constituency that's here presented to us. And then secondly, they're the angels. If you're considering the birth of Jesus Christ from the only source that records it, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you will never find anything that you can compare to the birth of other good men, great men, wonderful men. No one was born like Jesus. No one lived like Jesus. No one died like Jesus. No one rose from the dead like Jesus. He is sui generis. He is totally unique. And so you are confronted with a supernatural event. You know how the Bible begins? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not in the beginning, there was nothing. But in the beginning, there was God and nothing else. We find it impossible to believe with people who believe that in the beginning, there was nothing. I'm not talking about space now. Space has dimensions. It has breadth and width and height and depth. That's space. This is no space. Unimaginable nothingness. And that was in the beginning, we're told. And then there was something. You know, Maria in The Sound of Music, she has a song, "Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could." And Leah says the same thing in Shakespeare's play. You've done it for GCSEs. And we're being asked by the mind that rejects, in the beginning there was God. We are being asked that out of nothing came Socrates and Luther and Leonardo da Vinci and Galileo and Rembrandt and Shakespeare and Bach and Mozart and Beethoven and Dickens and Einstein and Nelson Mandela and Jesus Christ, that they all came out of nothing. And you and me, we come from nothing. And for us, the very idea that that's possible is a huge act of faith. It's just inexplicable that we came out of chance and out of nothing. Genesis 1:1 then. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He created the heavens, so he created angels. They're his servants. He designed them. He made them. They are for him. They're useful in many ways in helping us, in helping Jesus Christ. And you've experienced the assistance of angels. You went along in the car on an icy evening and you didn't see the traffic lights and you went through and other cars went through and there was a horrific braking and a twisting and a turning and you almost died of fright. You got out of the car and you went across to the other people in the other car and, "Are you all right? I'm so sorry. I didn't see the red light." And you apologized to them and they were shaken up. "We're all right. What happened?" "I don't know. I don't think I braked." God helped you. God's angels have helped you. They help people in Gatwick. No one was hurt. Or pocketbooks, bank accounts. Frustration was there, but no one died. Although there were drones there in the air and planes trying to land, angels are there. You were tempted at your computer to go to a porn site, and then in the end you couldn't do it. An angel guided your hands away. You started to talk to a woman and you got more and more intimate in your conversation. And then you said to yourself, "What am I doing? How can I talk like that?" There was an angel there. You were tempted to put your hand in the till. There was no one about and take something. And you clenched your hand. Angels, help us. This morning you left your home. Some of you have traveled very far to be here today. And angels have brought you here. And they brought me here safely. And they've given me a message that I can speak to you. Angels. The reality of living in a supernatural world. A God created. A God sustained world. In him we live and move and have our being. You didn't come from nothing. You didn't come from chance. God made every one of us. And we are told then one day that all the angels assembled and God came to speak to them. And he called one, the archangel. It could have been Gabriel. It could have been Michael. And God said, You know, I told you that 9 months ago your Lord became a human being. Your Lord was begotten in the womb of Mary, and he's developed and gone through all the processes of embryonic development for the last 9 months. Well, I want to tell you, 2 minutes ago he was born. He took his first breath, and soon he'll be having his first meal. And there was a shimmer through the hosts of heaven listening to God as God explained to them that this had happened in Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary. There is a perfect man and there is perfect God. There are two natures in one person. God told them. I told you about this long ago when we first created the first parents and man rebelled against us. And I told you then, as I preached to the serpent, that the child of the woman would be born and would crush the serpent's head. It's happened. I told you through Isaiah, you were here when I sent the spirit of discernment, the Holy Spirit, into Isaiah. And Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child, a human nature, a son, the divine nature, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you saw and you heard that your Lord would one day come. He has come, he has born. Now, Gabriel, I want you to go. This is your commission. You shall be my herald. And you shall tell men today that the anointed one, Jesus, the anointed one, has been born. I want you to do that. Tell them that he's been born in the city of David. Tell them where they can find him and how they will recognize him and go and see for themselves. And God gave that great honor, the first proclaimer of the incarnate God. He gave that to this angel. After I've seen my Savior in heaven, I want to see that angel. But then he told this angel to whom he was to give this message. Not to Caesar in Rome. Not to Herod, the king of the Jews. Not to the Greek philosophers in Athens. Not to the chief priests, the forerunners of Caiaphas and Annas. He's to go to little Bethlehem, David's city. And he was to go to these shepherds, these nobodies, these despised people, the scouring of all things, the last people you would expect to be the first people in the world to hear about the coming of his son, Jesus Christ. That was his mission. That was his duty for that moment. And of course, Gabriel went. And so these shepherds, they are there. They know one another. They've talked to one another. They've killed a sheep and they've eaten meat again. And it's a dark, cold night. And suddenly he appears. The angel appears at the campfire. And he lights everything up. He brings the glory of heaven with him, and as far as they can see, there's just an extraordinary heavenly light shining. So what did they do? These tough men, these cynical, blaspheming, dirty talking tough guys, what did they do? Did they make jokes? Oh, look who's here then. Who's been washing your clothes? What laundry do you go to? Do you fancy him, Ben? No, there was nothing like that at all. They were absolutely terrified. They were sore amazed, we are told. And every mouth was stopped. And why? Well, because for the first time in their lives, they were confronted with reality. first time. All their lives they had lived hitherto in a fantasy world in which they were the center of life, in which they pleased themselves and did what they wanted and believed what they wanted. And their boast was, I did it my way. That was their life. There was no God for them. There was no heaven to be won and no hell to avoid. Just them. I live for myself. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, they said. That's it. And then they saw this messenger from God who stood before them, this glorious being blinded by the light of heaven, and they were terrified. It's such a wasted life to live in God's creation and every night to see the starry hosts and the moon above us in all its beauty, especially outside the light of a city. And in the day to see the sun rise and to walk through a park. Schaefer talks about walking through Regent Street with an overseas student who's very belligerent and critical of Christianity and argues nastily to Schaefer. And they leave then Regent Street and they come into Regent's Park and they leave behind the hum of the traffic. And they go to near the lake and they walk on a path in the quiet and the geese and the ducks are there and the man's arguments begin to crumble as Schaefer kindly and graciously talks to him now about the God who made these things, the God whose glory is round about, the God who's given us a conscience, his monitor, that commends us when we do what's right and rebukes us when we do what's wrong. My friend with you who is saying to you, it's right what the preacher is saying. I didn't come from chance. God made me. God has kept me. He's the author of every good, every beautiful thing in the world. How can I know him? How can I get to know him? Well, I will tell you. You can get to know him by the Bible. You can get to know by reading a few verses every day and thinking about it and reading more as you understand more. And going where the Bible is explained and taught and applied to you and the situation, you can know him through Christians who will listen to your questions and try to answer them. And if they can't, they'll know other people who can answer them. And they'll speak to you. And what will they say to you? Well, they'll say to you what the angel's first words were to these people. Don't be afraid. They had every reason to be afraid. They'd lived without God, they'd lived against God, they'd lived in contempt of God, and they were to meet God. They were facing an open-ended encounter with God. And they should be afraid. Everyone should be afraid. And yet, he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't worry about your dry mouths and the goose pimples. He sent me to you. God, the maker of heaven and earth, has sent me to speak to you shepherds. You are the very first to know. I have good news for you. I have news that will give you wonderful joy. And I have the same message. And I have good news for you. I have good news for everybody in London and for every one of you. I have good news for you, December the 23rd, 2018. God has loved this world and has so loved you that he's brought you here this morning. And he's given you friends who have invited you and people who pray for you and love you and care for you. And he's been so good through another year. Almost this year has come to an end. And how God has watched over you and protected you so that you're well enough to come out and you're with us this morning. And you're hearing about the only God there is and how Jesus Christ came to be and how he came to enter into this world. What did Gabriel say was the good news? Did he say, I want to tell you, a general has been born? He didn't say that. I want to tell you that a rabbi has been born. No, didn't say that. That a scientist has been born, a politician. He didn't say anything like that. A savior. A savior has been born. And what does a savior do? He saves. He saves us from the mess we've made of our lives, of the big mistakes that we've made, of the people that we've hurt. And he comes to save us from more mistakes and to help us in the pit that we've dug for ourselves. He does it. He saves us from weakness. He saves us from addictions. He saves us from lust and greed and anger. He saves us from abusing people. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't just come to teach us and to lecture us and rebuke us. He saves us. That's why he came. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. I came to call shepherds. I came to call trashy people, hard, proud people, people who've kept God out of their lives for so long. I've come to call them to turn to me, he says. If they come to me, there's no way I'll cast them out. That's the good news that Jesus has brought to us. The angel says, a savior has been born to you. To you he's been born. If I saw a baby here, a newborn baby, a few weeks old, and if I picked it up and just walked through the door and went to my car, the father, the mother would soon come running after me and say, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Well, this baby's born for me. He's not born for you. He's born for us. He's born for his siblings, his grandparents. He's born for his father and mother. He's born for us. He's not born for you. But when God sent his son into the world, God begot him in the womb of Mary and fed him at the breast of Mary and cared for him in Mary and Joseph's home 30 years for you, and then sent him into Galilee for Galilean sinners and into Samaria for Samaritan sinners, and sent him to Jerusalem for Jerusalem sinners, and sent him for you, and sent him into all the world, and he's come to London in 2018, and he's come to many of us living. He loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. This Savior, this Jesus, he came for me. He'd seen the file on me. He knew all about me, but he came. And to you, and you, and you, and you, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He's born for sinners. This teacher, he'll tell you just who you are and how this world came about and what's gone wrong and why men treat men as they do and men treat women and children as they do. And he'll tell you, he'll explain how man has rebelled and man has fallen against God and now keeps God and just does things for his own tastes. He'll teach you. He'll teach you how you can be reconciled to God and God reconciled to you through what Jesus has done. He'll tell you about being the Lamb of God and how he takes away the sin of the world, that this is the nature of God, that without atonement, without the shedding of blood, without sacrifice, there's no forgiveness. And he's come into the world for that end, and he's come to be our shepherd king, to watch over us, send his angels to protect us. And he himself has kept us through a long life, and he's brought us here today, this great shepherd king, this Savior. Good news for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Don't think for a moment that you're not good enough. None of us is good enough. This Savior, he's come. And where do you go? Well, they went, of course, to Bethlehem, because in Bethlehem, Jesus was. And they went and they looked, and you've come to the right place, because where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus is there. He's with us, and his angels are with us today in this service, and he's capturing your understanding and helping you to know what I'm saying, and he's giving you a desire to have this Savior for yourself, and he's making you willing to receive him. Your conscience is saying, it's true, you know. It's been a long journey and I've done so many daft things in my life and I'm so sorry about those things. But from now on, I can't face 2019 without this Savior, without knowing God, without Jesus Christ as my Lord. So the shepherds came. And they came to a stable and there was a manger, prêt à manger, prêt, ready, manger, to eat. They came to feed their souls, to feed their hearts with the knowledge that God's Son is real and he lives and he loves us. And he'll come into our lives, and he'll be our Lord, and he'll be our Savior. And suddenly, all the hosts of heaven joined Gabriel. You understand, they weren't hovering. They were standing all around them. They were as many as the blades of grass on the fields, as far as the eye could see. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And there were these scruffy shepherds and all around them and all around the sheep, as far as the eye could see, there were angels. And they were singing. And that's where this world is going to end. It's not going to end where all the tragic novels and stories, there's dystopia of a future in darkness. It's going to end in praise and joy. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to the men on whom God's favor rests. That's what they sang together. And when they finished, they went. And the half a dozen shepherds were left there. And were they embarrassed then at everything that had happened and embarrassed at their fears? And did they start mocking themselves and rather nervously about what was all that they had seen? No, not at all, because they know, like you know, that they had been meeting with reality. They had been meeting with truth. And the only reason why all of you this morning should become Christians is that it is true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's true. And in 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, born of a virgin, born of Mary, born in a manger, born in a stable. And it's true. And where two or three gather together in his name, he's there. And it's true. Jesus with us now and loving you to bring you here. To hear this for yourself. And so they didn't say, well, oh, what was that? And oh, weren't we silly to be foolish? It's another night back to the sheep. Sheep herders. They said, let's go, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go and see what the angel has told us. Let's speak. Let's come. Let's find him. And they did, and they went, and they found him, and they worshipped him. Don't wait then. You go to Jesus now. The Jesus who is here, the Jesus who's brought you here, the Jesus who's been dealing with you for the last 20 minutes. You go to him and speak to him and experience for yourself the reality of what many of us experience. And we're doing what they did afterwards. They spread the word, didn't they? They loved to talk about this experience. You know, one man having a vision like that would be okay. Two would be rather more challenging. When there's half a dozen and they say it was like this, and they will repeat it, and they'll fall out with all their buddies, but they'll never cease speaking about it. And when they're old, 40 years later, they'd love to talk about the time Gabriel came and spoke to them, and the fields of Bethlehem were full of angels, and they saw Jesus, and they've worshipped him, and, yes, 33 years later, when he rose from the dead, they went to a hill in Galilee, and they were amongst the 500 there, to whom the risen Christ appeared, and he was with them, keeping them. Like he's kept us until this moment. And you'd see an old shepherd, and he'd say, I'm going to see him. I'm looking forward so much to seeing him. He won't be a baby there. I want to see Gabriel, but I want to see Jesus more. And I want to hear those angels sing like they sang when I was surrounded by them on the hill. At Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest. And he's given me peace in my heart. And he's made me a different man. Let you be with us then. That you'd have that hope. Why not? It's true. A baby's been born for you, who became the Lord of glory, the Savior, and he's with us. Because he loves you. You take him. It's a movement of your heart and soul as the Holy Spirit applies what you've heard today to you. And you say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You say, I want you as my Lord and Savior. Help me now. Help me. Heavenly Father, bless your word to us now, we pray. And help us in that great day to be with all the angels and the church of the firstborn written in heaven, and to be with Jesus and see him and sing our praises to him for all he is and all he's done for sinners like us. To his glory's sake we ask it. Amen.